irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. My name's Priscilla Leona, and I am producer and host of this show, Question Reality, coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. This show is definitely for you if you are questioning your career reality by considering or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. For 8 years, our guests have provided advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business positions. Now, our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, my God, singers, dancers, models, musicians, comedians, novelists, script supervisors, and yes, we throw in a damn entertainment attorney once in a while. The list just goes on and on. What's important to note is that all of our guests have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we'll definitely have someone on the show who can personally relate to you and are also able to answer your show business career questions, either on the air or from you being able to contact them directly, courtesy of listening to our show. Now, if you missed any of our shows or you want to seek advice about specific entertainment careers, you can always go to our archive page on the latalkradio.com website and search for the title of our show, Question Reality, or search by my name, Priscilla Leona. And all of the Question Reality shows are also available for free on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And please make sure that you get your newly designed free app on the homepage of the LATalkRadio.com website. And it's located towards the bottom. A lot of people email me, said, I can't find it. Where is it? It's down the bottom towards the right. Finally, very exciting news. If you want to be a guest on our show or refer someone to be on this show, we are currently booking for 2017. As you know, our shows are always booked 6 months to a year in advance. So I would highly suggest that you go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link. And then you can submit all of your information, and we might select you to be on the show. Yeah. I'm technically challenged here, so I'm reading off of my iPad. Bear with me because I skipped to the third page, but I'm back. I'm back on track now. Today we have a hot, sexy little teenage actor boy on the show named Josh Ehrenberg. And there's now, I like those tacky, what are they called, Albert? What are they called? You know I love them. People are like, oh, my God, are you going to play those sound effects? Yes, I am. And I have a gong. I have an applause. And I'm looking for more. So if anybody else can suggest some more sound effects, send it to me because I will play it. Yeah, there you go. There's the gong. But that's actually technically to warn me at the end of the show. So when you hear that sound, we got 5 minutes to go. So back to Joshua Ehrenberg. I want you to go to his Twitter page right now. It's at Joshua Ehrenberg, and that's E-R-E-N-B-E-R-G. He's also on Instagram as Josh Ehrenberg. And let me tell you a little bit about this little sexy boy we got here, girls, my little teenage lovers. Josh made his feature film debut at 8 years old in Columbia Pictures' The Green Hornet, opposite Academy Award nominee Tom Wilkinson. And then Josh landed a recurring role on the critically acclaimed series Suburgatory on ABC, playing that sarcastic know-it-all AJ, who has always great advice for adults, including his thoughts on love. So if you were a Suburgatory fan, you remember that little Josh, always up in your grill. And after working on Suburgatory, Josh returned to film, appearing in Warner Brothers' The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, starring James Gandolfini and Steve Carell. And Josh's character, if you remember, was Judah Money or Mooney. Not sure, but we'll check. He played opposite James Gandolfini. And let's tell you, additional television, I mean, they could go on and on, but some of his additional television credits for Josh are Adult Swim's Children's Hospital, TNT's Franklin and Bash, Nickelodeon's Dead Time Stories, NBC's Crisis opposite Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. Oh, we should get a X-Files, like a sci-fi effect. Oh, put that on the list. We're going to get one of those. And most recently, Josh starred as the title character, Gene, in Fox's Dad's opposite one of my favorite people, Seth Green. Welcome, Josh Ehrenberg.
Hi.
There you, Albert, the applause meter. Thank you. I'm going to fire him. Albert. Well, actually, I can't because that's my husband, but you're going to get a demerit. He's never on time with the special effects. We also have Josh's lovely, gorgeous mother, Susie Ehrenberg. Hello, Albert. Applause for Susie. That's it. What is going on? Are you high over there? What is going on? Oh, my God. I'm going to send a smoke signal out there. talking the thing, talking a little mic. Okay, so I don't know. We're going to find out from Susie, but Susie is not only his mom, but she might be. I'm hoping she's his momager, which is like the thing out here. Not sure. Okay, most moms of teenagers are. Okay, I'm getting a nod, so no, she is not. So we're going to find out about that. But Susie is going to be, Josh is going to be providing entertainment career advice as a teenage actor, and Susie is going to be giving advice to parents from the perspective of the mother of a child actor. So how lucky are we today? We are so lucky. And we've got two wells of wisdom here. Just fun, a wishing well. And we have 50 minutes, so hopefully they'll be able to answer a lot of questions. Now, before we get into the Q&A, I wanted to thank Joshua Ehrenberg on behalf of Curtis Leon Dungan from North Carolina. You and your mom, Susie, were both so generous to send him a care package with a bunch of superhero stuff when he was sick and just got out of the hospital. He's a huge superhero fan, so that was such a treat for him. As a matter of fact, if he's listening right now, Josh, maybe you could give him a little shout out.
I will be happy to.
His name is Curtis Leon Dungan in North Carolina. North Carolina, maybe. Yeah, that's better.
Well, if
where they don't make the right coleslaw. No, what's it? What is that? Oh, North Carolina. Never mind. It's, you know, they have barbecue rib. No, they make their. Oh, I better not say that if we're giving them a shout out. Oh, we love your coleslaw. Go ahead, Josh. Take over. Should be saying that.
Well, if anything, I'd like to thank him because this was kind of like an honor for me, and it made me feel like really good about myself, showing myself that I could do more for other people and just become this huge impact on people like Curtis. And it's just I'd like to thank him. Thank you.
Oh, he loved it. He put this. I understand that he put your stuff in his office, all over his office library or whatever he has in his office. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Apparently, you guys have a ton of stuff. What is that from? From the Green Hornet? You know, we've been making a joke over here. I keep calling the damn movie the Green Lantern, and it's a Green Hornet. You know, I'm obsessed with Bruce Lee, so I keep thinking Green Lantern. Oh, was Bruce Lee the Green Hornet?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I cannot get it right today.
You're thinking Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, exactly. So, again, thank you, Curtis Leon Dungan from North Carolina. We love your coleslaw. We love you. Yes. Yes, it was ribs. They make the ribs differently. Now, Joshua, the last time I saw you and Susie, it was about 6 years ago in 2011, and I was having a film fundraiser for one of my films, and we were lucky enough to have you as a speaker, and it was for sci-fi superhero stuff, and you were so articulate, and you gave such sage advice, so I was very impressed with you. Haven't seen you in 6 years. My God, you've grown. You're so tall, and you're so much different now. I mean, just turning into a beautiful, beautiful boy. He was cute as a button back then, but now he's turning into a hottie, Susie. What's going on?
Growth happens,
and I water and feed him. What's going on? Are the girls, like, walking by, throwing little pebbles up at his window?
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. Oh, Joshua, he's like, yeah, shut up, Mom. Now, I understand that you have a passion for writing and that you have written many mock episodes of cartoon screenplays and scripts. So my first question is, which ones have you ever submitted your work? And what does writing a mock episode entail for those who don't know what that is?
Well, I mean,
he's an actor. He can remember every single question I just asked. I wouldn't, but he will.
I mean, I do more than mock, but with, like, mock episodes and, like, stuff is I take characters from, like, shows and movies or, like, sometimes even books, and I just kind of continue their story and kind of, like, bring my own, like, personal stuff into their worlds. And I haven't submitted any of
it's
them.
It's like writing a treatment.
Kinda,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For you people who don't know that a treatment is when you're a writer and there's a show on television and you go, oh, I love that show so much. I'm a screenwriter and I want them to pick an episode, so I'm going to write a treatment. So you send it in and it's just like another story for a show. So that's what Josh is talking about. Continue, yeah. Mr. George. Oh my God! I just called Josh George. I don't even drink, Susie. I don't even drink.
Sure.
I've been calling it Green Lantern, Green Hornet. Called him George. Good God, that's good. He's like, this is the worst interview I've ever had. I'll never come back on that damn show with that kook. All right, continue, Josh.
I mean, I haven't actually submitted any of my work. I don't really know why. We just haven't. And I feel like it could be better in some things. I don't finish for the fact that, like, you know, just...
Oh, so you don't... What do you mean you don't finish? You started and you just don't finish writing on it? Or you just don't submit it as being the finished...
Yeah, I don't submit a finished project. I write, like...
Okay. For the love of it. Okay. And what are some of the ones that you wrote little... I'm going to call it treatments instead of mock-ups.
Well, when I was younger... like right before Green Hornet came out, my brother had this awkward addiction to Sonic the Hedgehog. And I remember just like writing him like a really big like movie for like Sonic.
Hmm.
And I wanted to share it with him. And I was like so excited to share it with him. I was finished with it. And I was like, yes, this is what I'm going to make my brother so happy.
Oh.
And because he was younger and because of who he was, he looked at it and said, I don't want to read this.
Oh, bad boy. That's a bad boy. Let me ask you, let's go back to The Green Hornet. Now, that was a fantastic movie. I love me some Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is from The Green Lantern.
I have the Columbia Pictures, The Green Hornet. Oh, shit, Reynolds, that's right. Oh, no, Susie's like, oh, she said PG. Shit. Oh, PG. Oh, shoot. That's opposite. Excuse me. Okay, so let's talk about The Green Hornet now. How was it? Tom Wilkinson is a fantastic actor. How was it working with Tom Wilkinson?
It was really interesting because...
He's very disciplined, I hear.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was 8 years old when we shot it. I turned 9, I think, on set. But, at the time, I didn't really know much about him or who he was. I just knew that he was supposed to be, like, my father in the movie. And I was, like, the way he was treating me, I kind of felt the fatherly figure in him. But in the same breath, I felt, like, the big brute, you know, like, there's all these rules. And, like, yeah. I saw that strict father, which what his character was, but, you know, not an asshole.
That's a method actor. He felt like a father.
Sorry.
And what kind of stories do you have from The Green Hornet? Something that people may not have known that went on behind the scenes. Some fun stories. No dirty gossip, like bad gossip, but good fun things that were happening, like some fun you had.
Well, again, I was 8, So, nothing dirty.
Oh, darn, you couldn't have any of the good fun that a 9-year-old would have had. Okay. What did they... Oh, so did they keep you segregated, like, in the children's section? Or what is it like being an actor 8 years old on the set?
It was really interesting. I was kind of sheltered from the big bad words just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit. But there was actually a scene we shot for the movie that didn't make the cut. Seth Rogen talked about it. Britt Reed talked about it. He would mention, like, when he was younger, he dressed up and he, like, saved a little girl from these bullies. And he got into, like, a little fight at school, which then leads into the first scene of the movie, which is him going to his dad talking about the fight.
Right.
And we shot that scene, and that was the only scene with kids in it, like a group of kids, because we were supposed to be out of school. And we had school on set, which, because it was new for me, I didn't really know how to deal with that, because I would school off of set and away from set, and I would not school with a whole group of children. So it was just really interesting, because they huddled us into like a corner in like a room, like not not away from the set, but like kind of like a little distance away, and we all schooled there, and it was really weird because we all had different work and different assignments, and it was just kind of like being in school if everybody was in their own separate world.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is a great question for mothers, because I guess I'd want to know what actually for a mother whose child wants to be an actor, what is this whole process like? Because you have your child going to a regular school, and then they are cast in something. And it could take days, weeks, months, right? I want to hear from Susie, what does that process entail? Like, how do they know what to teach your child? And then I want to know from Josh what it's like to go from being in a class with his friends to strange kids on a set. So, Susie?
Well, you have to have a work permit, a California state work permit to work in the state of California. It's issued to you. And then you need to also bring your children's schoolwork with you so they can learn from whatever they're learning at the time in their class. So they just bring it to set, and they're taught on set whatever they're working on in the class. So you just bring it with you, and the kids will do it there with the set teacher. And they are required to learn on set 3 hours per day. And it doesn't have to be three solid hours. They can do 15-minute blocks as long as they get their 3 hours in. So that's schooling on set.
Oh, great. Oh, that's cool. And from your perspective, what is it like to go from your regular classmates into a school, as you were just saying, with a whole bunch of different people?
Well, I mean, since I am used to, like, going to school and I have my usual friends and stuff, I don't really notice a difference anymore, because when I'm working with kids, I get to know them. So they kind of become my friends. And when it's schooling on set, it's kind of like schooling at school.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, less time.
Yeah. So you're just meeting new friends.
Yeah, basically.
And it's continuing the same work.
Yeah.
Do people goof off more because it's
it
is? Because the teacher probably isn't as strict, and they're not going to report back to your real teacher. So it's like, I can just play. All right. Now, in your free time, you love to volunteer for Make-A-Wish Foundation, Alliance for Lupus Research, American Cancer Association, Relay for Life. Why did you choose these particular organizations, and what do you do when you volunteer?
Well, for Make-A-Wish, in 2011, when Green Hornet came out, we had a screening event, and for like a whole group of my friends and a whole bunch of other people, and we kind of made it like a fundraiser, and we raised money for Make-A-Wish, and we were able to grant boy Diego's wish. He wanted to go on a shopping spree to Best Buy. It was really interesting when I first heard of Make-A-Wish. It brought something really interesting to me that I haven't felt before, because I was younger, and like I kind of wanted to push more on that. And that was when I kind of like really started on volunteering.
Yeah.
Which then brought me to lupus.
What did you do? Did you go on the shopping trip with them, or did you give them the gift cards, or
We raised a bunch of money from the screening event, and then we gave the money to Make-A-Wish, and Make-A-Wish took them on a shopping spree.
I see. So you didn't actually get to go. Darn, no. That would have been fun. Right? Oh, my God. So is that what you pretty much do with all the organizations, or is it different things that you that you do, depending? Is it always raising money, or is it actually going there and helping to do some stuff?
Well, most of the time it's like going there and raising money. Like not too long ago, I did a Relay for Life, which was basically somebody had to constantly be run, like walking on a track, and we were raising money for cancer, and it was just and there was stuff like that. But then like I did something with a company called Critical Care Comics, which through the Ryan Seacrest Foundation, we went to a hospital and
love Ryan Seacrest. He's so sexy. Oh, my favorite metrosexual. Oh, you got to meet Ryan Seacrest?
No.
Don't get me excited, because I'll be getting the scissors out, getting a piece of your hair, because it was in his presence. It was in Ryan Seacrest's presence. It still has residual Ryan Seacrest on it.
Maybe.
All right, so continue.
We went through the Ryan Seacrest Foundation to the hospital, and we gave comic books to the children there.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, so, like, sometimes you do the up-close stuff, and sometimes you don't, but they both have the same kind of impact and meaning, and it's just kind of
so
fun.
You love to volunteer.
Yeah.
It wasn't Susie going, you know what? We got to put that on your resume. No,
that's it's
we
got to
get you
back
into a good college. It really
he
is.
Has to give back.
Yeah. Okay. So you also love to play sports and basketball and volleyball. So can you tell other children how important it is to have various skills like sports in your tool chest as an actor? It's very important, by the way, actors to have, even adult actors, the more things you know, the more things you can be cast for. If it sounds stupid like egg tossing, well, you never know when they need somebody to toss an egg. Sword fighting, karate, just miming, as many classes as you can to add to your tool chest of skills, very important, and you should start as a child. Am I right, Josh?
You should. I think the best example for it would be like the Step Up movies and like those dancing movies, because like they're all trained professional dancers, and I doubt they just kind of went in and said, "All right, since I'm an actor, oh, we're just gonna do it right here, and we're gonna learn how to do it there." They're all trained professionals,
right.
And knowing how to do that stuff will like expand. And it'll like open more doors for you.
Yeah.
And it'll just it'll help so much.
It is not enough. That back in the day, Susie, you know what I'm talking about. You used to be called a triple threat.
Yeah.
And you had to sing, you had to act, and you had to dance.
Yes.
Well, these days, forget about it. You got to be what I call the dirty dozen. You have got to have a dozen skills in order to just be considered for one. So you've got to sing, you got to act, you got to dance, you got to have especially if you're a female and you want to do action movies, highly recommend you start doing some parkour or start doing some fencing or sword fighting, something.
Dialect training.
Yeah, because what did you say?
Dialect training is also
dialect training, very important. Oh my gosh, I do not understand how British people talk better than American people. With their accents, I never hear a break. Yet, used to hear an American trying to do a British accent. It is very hard, very hard. I do not. And Australians,
it's sexy. Yeah, it's very sexy.
And Australians have beautiful American accents. I can't even tell. Like, there's a show called The 100, and this blonde girl, Amelia, what's her name? Oh, he doesn't remember. It has a favorite show, but I didn't even know she was Australian. She speaks just perfect English. So it's very important. Again, Josh, tell how it's better to start as a child to add. You should at least have British. You should have Australian.
Southern.
Southern.
Yeah, that's what I got down, kind of.
Southern, right? And maybe a little Eastern European. I think that's most, for action.
A New York accent.
New York, New York.
New York, Boston.
Absolutely. York. So, have your mother pick up that extra job doing what she needs to do. Your father, too. You need to have two jobs, and you need to get dialect training and skills training. Because, Susie, let's talk about that. Very expensive Not only is it expensive to be an actor, people, you wonder why actors are poor all the time. Well, you have no idea how much it costs to be an actor, people. Headshots will run you, I mean, if you're going to get a good photographer, run you $500 to $1,000.
Every time we do headshots, it's $1,000 because you have to take the pictures.
Yeah.
You have to have your clothing. You go see your photographer. You take fabulous pictures. Can I plug somebody?
Yes.
We love Deidre Fahey. She's okay. Fabulous. She's wonderful. We love her. He takes his pictures. Then they decide which pictures the reps. Everybody looks at the pictures. Then they pick their top 15, 10. We have them touched up or not. And then they have to be uploaded everywhere. So you upload them on all your actor sites, your Actors Access.
And it costs.
Yes.
Every time you upload a picture, it'll run you about $10-$15.
Some places charge $35 And you have to upload every picture that the rep wants. So if your theatrical rep wants 5 pictures, you're uploading 5 pictures. Your commercial agent wants 2, you're uploading those 2. Then you got to make your manager happy, and she wants 3 different ones. There's another 3. And then, of course, it ends up being around $1,000 by the time you're done.
Yes.
So very expensive.
Yes. And that's not including class. Oh, and then Josh will be changing, growing some whiskers in 6 months or a year. Then you got to get more pictures because the kids grow. I mean, if you're an adult, you could probably get away with maybe a year before you get another picture, right? Unless you change your hair color frequently. But for a child, he's growing like a weed. So his looks are going to change in a year.
We take them every year.
Every year.
Every year. So it's $1,000 a year, give or take.
Okay. Not including the uploading costs for the websites. Because if you're an actor, you have to be on websites. Hopefully you know that. But if you don't, there are many websites that you go on. Actors Access, LA Casting. What else, Josh? Anything else? Those are the only 2 I know about.
No, there's a lot. But those are the 2 that we usually use.
Those really? Do you know any more that I don't know about?
There's Cast It Talent, Now Casting.
Is that still around now, Casting? Yeah. There is a new place that I've heard of. I'm going to check it out first. I'm not promoting this company because I make sure that I do a lot of research. But it's been the buzz. It's called GetUpCast.com.
I've heard of them.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know because it's weird. Like, they're not out, but they're telling you you can get in on it before they're actually out. So I don't know. But I love the whole idea of actually being cast from a mobile app.
Yeah.
Because now what's happening, which is great, Susie and Aaron, for children and teens, this EcoCast, right? You don't even have to go to auditions because that's another expense, right? You got to take off time from work as a mother to take the child, and you got to have gas, and then you got to, right. You know, that's a lot of time work. With the EcoCast, they're now letting you, you get your script from ShowFacts,
right.
And then you shoot it right at home.
They're
Have you done that?
They're doing a lot of taping now. Taping is the new thing, but still, when you get to the producer director level, they want to meet with you in person. If you're far, far away, sometimes they're happy to Skype with you.
Okay.
And that way they can see that you're directable. But typically speaking, the best place to be is in the room if you can get into the room.
Yes.
That's where you want to be.
Have you done an EcoCast audition? Do you like those? Or
has actually done a few EcoCast auditions. Mm-hmm.
Do you like those as opposed to going in, or do you like going in better?
I like going in
better
because it also gives you a chance to kind of embrace your character in the room, and then you get to personally be there with the people, and I like it better.
Yeah, and try to do the lighting for these EcoCasts. I got, I'm not an actor, but I swear I have lots of casting director friends and talent managers and just casting people. So whenever they see a role for a fluffy, I'm going to call myself fluffy, a fluffy, nice Michelin tired woman, they're like, oh, Priscilla, can you submit? So I'm like, oh, God, no. Now, I love doing background work. Now, you're going to think I'm crazy. I loved it when I first got started because I believe that I'm extremely organized and detail oriented, believe it or not. And I believe you need to start from the bottom. So I thought it's best that you start as a background actor. That way you can look and see what's going on the set. You can see what's happening. You can learn the set etiquette. You can learn things. So I loved it. Recently my manager sent me for the blacklist, right? And they wanted me to do an EcoCast. You should have seen poor Albert trying to set up those lights. It was a hot mess. We had shadows on the wall. I had like 5 shadows. And then there was like, oh, it just was not right. I said, I can't do this. I don't know how actors do it.
You do know there's companies that will tape your,
yes,
your audition.
Yes, I know
for
that. For $150.
And they'll read with you, and sometimes they'll coach with you.
Yeah, not happening on this end. I'm better. I like producing, directing. That's it. My short films and my music videos. I'm good. Now, Joshua, let's talk about the film, because I got a lot of emails wanting to know what it was like working with Ryan Reynolds. Did you work with Ryan Reynolds?
No,
that
I didn't.
That was the perfect time for the gong.
Not Ryan Reynolds. The Green
Hornet.
The Green Hornet. Who the hell, besides Tom, did you work with? Who were some of the other stars?
Well, I played young Seth Rogen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to really work with him, but yeah. I got to meet him. He was in the room for, I believe, my last director session.
How was he to work with? He seems fun.
He was fun.
He's really funny.
Like, naturally funny.
It was funny watching a comedian try to teach another comedian how to cry. That was...
Oh, my gosh. What happened in that process? Was he trying to teach... Joshua, how to
Seth
cry?
Seth Rogen was trying to help teach Josh how to cry.
How? So what did he say? What is this process? Tell us. I want to know.
Well, you have to pay money for that.
Oh, yeah. God, no.
No, it's a process.
What is a comedian tell an actor how do you cry?
I don't recall.
Was he joking?
I don't recall what he said. I just remember that it didn't really work for me. Because they put these
wax tears, yeah.
And it didn't work for me. It burned to the point where I actually cried. So I believe that process worked a lot better than Seth Rogen.
Ah, see that? That's a good way. Now let's talk about. I never watched The Burgatory, but my friends watch it and they loved it. How did you like working on The Burgatory, playing AJ?
That was a lot of fun. I think that was the first show that really took me out of my box and took me out of my comfort zone, because I did a couple of episodes that were just kind of like a little like risque for like a 13, 14
Really? Tell me. You know I'm interested in that part.
Well, my character AJ, he dated one of the main characters on the show who's over the age of 18, but her character was
Susie. I like that.
My character's introduced in that episode, and I just walk up and I spank her butt.
You have to get some action sometime.
And he spanked her butt about 45 times.
Yeah. Oh, perfect excuse as an actor, a child actor. You had to approve it. It was in the script, Susie.
It was at the table read.
It was there. Okay. So what did you like most about your character, AJ? Was it a stretch for you playing this particular character?
Not necessarily a stretch.
From what you had played previously.
Well, I mean, from what I've played previously, yeah, stretch. But for me, not really, because I kind of see the sarcastic and... Like, I'll give advice to my friends, and I see that all in myself. That's why it was kind of easy for me to play AJ in the beginning. And then I had to cross-dress and do a dance routine, and again...
Brought
me right out of my comfort zone.
What the heck was this show about? Now I'm going to have to go on Netflix and watch it.
It's worth it.
How long was that on? I know it was on a while, right?
Three seasons.
I actually ran into a lady. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I cannot remember her name. But she played a maid, the Hispanic maid on that show. She had a recurring role, and I cannot remember her name. Oh, what is that lady's name that we met, Albert?
Eliza Taylor.
It is not Eliza Taylor.
That's the one from the 100, remember? The Australian.
Oh, he's way back on the 100. But you know what? That's what happens with Albert. I'll bring someone up, he Googles it, and then I'll find out about it before the show ends.
That's useful.
Yeah, it is. Susie's looking that up. Now, after working on who else were some of the stars of Suburgatory? We want to give shouts out to them. Who else were that? Who was that?
Allie Grant, who I spanked her butt. So I'm going to give her a shout out.
Yeah, we want a shout out, Allie.
I do. I do remember, though, before we started that shooting that scene, she looked at me and said, "It's okay. Spit me as hard as you want. I've got buns of steel."
Oh, boy. I like that. Ready to get into that scene.
I was over the age of 9, so the gossip and dirty stuff came in.
I love it. Oh, did you, Susie, did you find who that lady is?
I did.
What is her name?
Bunny Riviera.
Bunny Riviera. Yes. I had a dinner with Bunny. Yes. She was on the show. You had no scenes with her.
I don't remember that.
Okay. So who else besides Allie was on the show?
There was also Jeremy Sisto, Alan Tudyk from Firefly.
Yeah,
he was a lot of fun. He told me all these stories because I am a child, and I watched Wreck-It Ralph, and he played the main villain, spoiler alert, and Wreck-It Ralph, and I asked him questions about that, and he told me all these stories, and like it was just really interesting to hear these words from him, because I, at the time when I first started shooting, I had no idea, and then I came for like the second episode, and I'm like, that's you, okay, I have a toy of you,
That must be weird, right?
Yeah.
Does it affect you working with him when, if you don't know who someone is, it's probably easier. Yeah. And then when you know, how do you get over that hurdle of being intimidated or, you know, do you do? How do you do that as an actor?
It's kind of the same. It's kind of the same way of dealing with it when you know who they are beforehand.
Mm.
You just kind of got to play it cool. Just got to play it cool.
Just like when you spanked Allie's butt. You were like, well, I don't really want to do this, but it's in my scene, Allie.
It was more or less I was red as a tomato. And I was just like, I don't know about this.
They had to color you, get you back to the natural color. Now, when you worked on The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, which do you know, I have not seen that yet. I've had that on my list forever. That was opposite James Gandolfini and Steve Carell. Oh, I love that man. Oh, my God. He's from The Office. Hopefully you know who that is. James Gandolfini from one of the greatest shows of our time, The Mob Show.
The Sopranos.
The Sopranos. Thank you, Josh. Oh, it comes and goes when you're over 30. Your memory comes and goes. 30, we'll say 30. It comes and goes. How was it like working with James Gandolfini and Steve Carell? I would think Steve Carell's on all the time.
Oh, Steve Carell is amazing. But James Gandolfini, he was considerably one of the greatest parts of shooting that. He was my father in that. And you also didn't know, like, Judah Money or like, Judah Mooney?
Yes.
It's Judah Money.
Money.
And we were making jokes about that because my name was Judah Money. And we're like, hey, Judah, you do money. You do money. Yeah. And, but, like, James Gandolfini, he was my father on the set. And when I first met him, the first thing he said to me was, like, so you're my son, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, and he was like, well, I better start treating you like it. And he got me, like, a remote control helicopter. And
what?
Yeah, and it was just, that was like, whoa.
Wow.
So far, so good.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to give you a helicopter.
Yeah, but there was.
I wonder what his real kids got. If he gave Josh a helicopter, wow, they got some good stuff.
But, he really did treat me as if I was his son. Like, he just immediately brought me in. Like,
he's a powerful presence, isn't he?
Yeah, most definitely. We were offset, and I was shooting or I was working on schoolwork, and I just kind of stopped, and I was on my iPad, and he came in the room, and he like sat down next to me, and like I was like leaning on him, and I was playing Angry Birds, and he asked me about Angry Birds, and we were playing it together, and yeah.
Did he regularly play, or it was just you were teaching him how to play? Teaching James Gandolfini of The Sopranos how to play Angry Birds, something you and I have never done, people. Never done. Who knows? He might secretly have picked that game up, and he went home, and he was obsessed with it like I am with Candy Crush. Angry Birds. Now, you also went on to... I don't know what Adult Swim's Children's Hospital is. What is Adult Swim... What is that? Is that like a porn movie? No, what are you doing, Susie?
Adult Swim.
Susie, don't let him. No, what is that?
So Adult Swim is when Cartoon Network goes, like, when it becomes nighttime, Adult Swim becomes, it's like the kind of like the new channel, and it's like it plays stuff for like more adult stuff. Like Family Guy's on there a couple of times.
Okay.
They also have their own original shows, like I believe Children's Hospital.
Okay.
And it's not for children.
Just Children's Hospital, but it's about the doctors playing with the nurses.
Exactly. And they always hire children.
What did you do in there? Hopefully it was a PG part, Susie.
It was not PG.
No.
Again! What are we doing to Josh? We're going to have him running a porn ring in a couple years. Leave this child alone. Stop casting him for those things. He's a good boy. I know, after Allie.
Oh, my God.
Wow. No, she was just the beginning. What'd you do on Children's Hospital?
Was before.
Oh, it was.
Yeah,
okay.
It was right after Green Hornet.
Okay.
It was like the 70s episode, and my character, he was just like a patient, and he was refusing to let Jordan Peele from Key and Peele, who was on that show, he refused to let him like do the remove his tonsils because of his race. And then I'm totally blanking on her name, but the female doctor was there, and she said, I'll take out the kid's tonsils. And I said no because she was a female.
Uh-huh.
And in the end, when I let them all do the surgery on me, they were playing a operation on me instead of actually removing my tonsils.
Ow!
And then they killed me. And then they ate me as hot dogs. So,
what kind of a show is this? Now I got to put that on my Netflix list. Now, see, you're turning me on to all these shows. Now I got to put that on the list. Now, Franklin and Bash, again, another show. There's just too many damn shows. I try to record as many as I can, but I just can't watch them all. I know that's a fabulous show. It was on for a long time. Very popular. What'd you do on Franklin and Bash?
I played young Peter, which... Like, for, like, my figure and who I am, that was the joke.
Oh, okay.
Because he's tall and slim, and here I am at the time, I was short and pudgy.
Yeah.
And they hired somebody to play, I'm totally blanking on the other guy's name, but they hired him. He in real life, he's small.
Yeah.
And they got somebody really tall to play him.
Yeah.
And we were, like, young, and my character was kind of like, our characters were not getting picked for, like, the football game.
Yeah.
And we kind of just, like, that was how we met. That was how Franklin and Bash met.
Ah.
And they kind of just, like, ran off and had fun, and they got to know each other a lot better, and that was kind of like a cute flashback.
I gotta watch. That's going on Netflix, too. You were also in Nickelodeon's Dead Time Stories, NBC's Crisis, opposite Gillian Anderson. Now, Albert and I, well, being oldies that we are, love the X-Factor. Now, Albert had a crush on
X-Files.
What did I say?
That's X-Files.
What
you said X-Factor.
Ouch.
I can see her being a judge on that.
Yeah, I can, too. Gillian Anderson on The X-Files. Albert, that was like his fantasy woman back in the day. She's still a good-looking woman. What was it like working? Now, what happened to Crisis? Because that looked really good. I saw you in the trailer, and you rocked that part. That's all I saw was the trailer, and then I don't know what happened. And that happens often, people. So, you know, just be prepared that when your children are in shows, the executives, they sometimes don't even give the shows a chance. I'm just going to be real. They cut these shows that are fantastic, wonderful shows, and they just chop them, and I don't even know the reasoning or how they figure it out, honestly, but this is something you have to be prepared for. So you can get excited and hope that it lasts a season, but sometimes they don't last more than 3 episodes. But anyway, Crisis looked fantastic. You were in the bus episode.
I was actually a series regular.
You were
a
series
regular. I didn't appear
on every
episode, but yeah.
But the trailer, wasn't it about a bus?
It was basically a whole group of kids that like their parents work for the government. They're all like leaving for like a charity job thing on a field trip, and their bus gets hijacked and they get kidnapped, and
there was a bus scene.
Thriller.
I know there was a bus because I saw you and I was like, damn, oh Josh, dude. Doing such a great job. That was, and then recently you play the character Gene in Fox's Dad's opposite Seth Green. Another one. I saw one episode. I'm like, that's really funny. Again, where is it? Executive. Oh, they're going crazy. Chop, 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 chop. How did you like working again? So this was your second time working with Seth, right?
No, my first time.
The first time working with Seth.
I worked with Seth Rogen. And then
Seth Rogen. I could have sworn you said Green, but you said Rogen. Okay. Seth Green. How did you like working with him? He seems really funny.
He was a blast.
Really funny.
Fun working with him. I asked him questions about Family Guy because I would watch Family Guy with my dad, and he even answered a question for me in Chris Griffin's voice, and he told me about how he did that, the voice, and it was really
Funny. Well, tell us. We want to know. How's he doing?
He's a wizard. That's all I know. he was really fun to hang out with, and because I got to bully him on that episode, that made it so much more fun. And like, we're like the same height. It was a lot of fun, and we made too many jokes to count. And
I wanted to ask you about that because I know that you feel very strongly, as everyone should, about bullies. We do not like them. We hate bullies. What was it like as an actor to have to portray a bully? You've got to really stretch yourself. How do you prepare for a character that you absolutely abhor?
Well, if it's for like comedy purposes, as this was, it's fine by me. But if it were anything like really serious and major, I kind of have to stop and think about it because I was bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And like that kind of like hits me.
Yeah.
And so I have to like really stop and think before I go out for like a role where I'm like playing like a hardcore bully.
Right.
But like comedy, like with Seth Green, I'm
you can do that.
I'm picking on Seth Green. He was dating my mom, so I was picking on him.
So would you maybe reject a role that was about a hardcore bully?
I don't think I would reject it.
Got to get into the character. And if it's a character that you hate, I mean, I know you got to stretch yourself. How does a child actor who's still a child, what do you do to prepare for a role like that? I mean, that's a character that we don't like. How would you do that? Would you just watch movies or?
Well, and I'm giving it a shout out to Lauren Nadler here. She taught me this. I read the script over and I write down the characteristics of these characters, and then I write down the character's objectives. And then it gives me a chance to really get into that person's world and that character's mind. Therefore, I'm no longer Josh. I'm that bully, and I will look at this character, and this will be my objective.
Mm.
So, like, it's more or less not like
you
like
separate,
watching movies. I separate myself and my personality from this character.
Right.
We talk about it a lot too. When it's something like that, we spend a lot of time talking about the character and what's happening in the scene and how he is only portraying the character and he is not the character.
Yeah.
And he's only the character for a short time, but he would never ever be a bully. Hopefully never, ever, ever.
No, I can't see that. A little heart of gold he has. Woo! Premiere! Oh, my God, that means we got 5 minutes. Now, you are up for two projects right now. I don't know if you can talk about them.
We're never allowed to talk about anything.
Never allowed to talk about anything. Well, what does it mean when an actor says they're up for two projects right now, for those who do not know, and what does that project entail?
It normally means that the casting directors and the directors and everybody, they're looking at you, and when you're up for something, that means that like they kind of want to pull you in and they want you in their project, but in the same breath there are still other people there. So it's like,
so after... have you gone to an audition?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So you've gone to an audition with other actors, and how do you know you're up for something? Do they say, I know what it is.
They'll tell you
on
you're
hold.
In the mix, or they'll put a
on
pin
hold.
You,
you
or
put
on
a hold.
Hold.
What's called hold.
Right. Or a mm-hmm. pin.
Put a pin on it.
What?
A veil.
A veil, which would be a commercial.
A veil. Right. Oh, tell us. See that? That's something we did not know. I didn't know that. Have you done commercials?
So
no.
Josh was on a veil for probably
100 Oh, on a veil. Oh,
in a year.
I thought you said on veil.
No,
okay.
On a veil.
Okay, right. So for commercials, so that means that you have to make yourself available for that particular time
period. Whoever you're on a veil for or pinned for, they own you for that time.
Yes.
You can't accept any other projects during that time. You have to, they own you. Just like with Crisis, when he was on Crisis, he was also working Suburgatory, and he could no longer work the last season of Suburgatory because Fox and NBC owned him.
Oh, isn't
so you
that
can't
something.
Do anything else, oh, whatever your contract is.
Bad, bad, bad. Now, Josh, what do you feel is the best advice that you could give to another teenage actor or child actor who wants to pursue a career as an actor?
Well, I mean, obviously the cliche, don't give up. When you're in like the scenario that I'm in, which is like older actors that are above the age of 18 getting roles that were said to be for 16 or like 15, 14.
Yeah.
When stuff goes down like that, you definitely want to go in and you want to prove you're worth it, and you want to show them that, you know, that yes, you want me because I am what you're looking for. And you don't give up on that. But if, you know, it doesn't really necessarily work out and, like, you're not getting jobs and they're taking those jobs from you, definitely this is the perfect time to discover who you are.
Yeah.
And find out what you love and what you want to do and if you want to continue to pursue and if you want to find something else or you want to go to college. And 'cause at this age, like in high school, they're prepping you for college and they're prepping you for your future. And when you're an actor, you're trying to get into the business and that stuff, you technically already know what you want, but there's always other routes that you can take at the same time.
Yeah, you always want to have a plan B and a plan C. You definitely need to go to college, because if it doesn't work out as an actor, you got to have your backup job, right? Mm-hmm. So all right. Oh, wow. Okay. Last thing, what would you say, real quick, what would you say to parents whose child wants to be an actor?
I would say make sure they want to be actors. They genuinely want to be actors. It's a lot of work. You take a lot of time. You spend a lot of money on training. And you should learn where you live. Like, if you live in another state, not in Los Angeles, learn and audition there. Stay there. Don't rush over to L.A. Don't spend money separating your family until you absolutely have to do that, because it's a lot of work, and there may be reward, and there may not be any reward at all. You could just be spinning your wheels.
Oh, and it is expensive, people, to live here.
It's expensive, and you have to really be passionate and be prepared to spend the time and the money, and, you know, your kid has to love it, and it doesn't reflect who they are. If they don't get a job, it's not any reflection of who they are as a person. It's just a reflective of that they weren't selected for that particular role.
Yes, and as a parent, please just explain rejection to the children. It is not a bad thing. That just means you just weren't right for the part, and you should go, well, you know what? That's great, because I wasn't right for the part. I don't want to be cast for something that I'm not right for. Psh, on to the next thing. Don't take it personally. It is not a personal reflection.
It's definitely not personal.
They don't know you. These casting people, when you go in there, they want to cast you. They don't know who you are. They don't have any feelings of animosity towards you. Okay, so Joshua, we are going to be looking forward to seeing you in some feature films, some television, and some commercial. And if you want to follow Joshua Ehrenberg, do you like Josh or Joshua?
I'm used to Josh.
Okay. If you want to follow Josh, follow him on Twitter. It's at Josh Ehrenberg, E-R-E-N-B-E-R-G. And follow him on Instagram at Josh Ehrenberg. And we are going to follow his career. Now, I'm hoping that I can get him next year, but he'll probably be on a hit show like Modern Family. I won't be able to get him, so... We should just cherish these moments now. But hey, I'll get you to get a commitment from you. Will you come back the next time I ask you next year? Because we want to follow. We want to say yes, because yes. That's not a commitment there. I didn't get it.
Oh, now you have it.
I got
to
commit. Got it on audio. Yeah.
Dang it.
Yes. And let's follow Josh's career, because he is a fantastic child. He's a gorgeous child. Aww. He's so talented. His mother is like, let me tell you, if you want to work with a child actor, you gotta like the parents. And I have dealt with some parents. They're not, Susie is not like a dance mom parent. She's very easy to get along with. She's very kind. She's professional. I've known her for 6 years. And this is the type of parent you want to choose. So Josh is available for a feature film. And what do you want to tell me, Susie?
Oh, also Josh is on IMDb if you want to look him up there too.
IMDb.com.
That's right. Movie database.
Yes. All right, everybody. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
Say goodbye to your family. Fans.
I have fans.
You have lots of fans.
Goodbye, fans. Whoa.
And Susie has mom fans. Say goodbye to your fans.
Mom fans. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Question Reality. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.